Saint Philip and James are two apostles of our blessed Lord who were eyewitnesses of our Lord's resurrection from the dead, owing to the fact that they both saw our Lord shortly after he arose. Lest we doubt their testimony, their martyrdoms prove to us that they saw what they saw. For if they had been lying about such a fact, such an important matter, they would not have gone to their deaths in order to defend that fact. What person in his right mind would accept death in order to defend a lie? In witnessing to the truth, these apostles showed their love of truth. The love of truth is the beginning of our conversion to God. Our Lord said, "I have come into the world to witness unto the truth. Those who are of the truth hear my voice." You cannot love God, you cannot please God, unless you first love the truth. Philip preached the gospel in the two Phrygias, what is today Western Turkey. His martyrdom took place in a city called Hierapolis. And since he was married, when he received the apostolic call from our Lord, he had three daughters, and one of these daughters lived in Ephesus, where St. John and the Blessed Virgin Mary lived, and this daughter is revered still by the Ephesians. The James of today's feast day is James the Less, St. James the Greater, who is the older of the two James. He is celebrated on July 25th, and he is the one that went to Spain. But this is St. James the Less, the first bishop of Jerusalem, and he is called in sacred scripture the brother of the Lord. Now, the Protestants have made much of this, saying, well, you see, that proves that our Blessed Lady had other children and that she is not a virgin. But this is false, for it was common among the Hebrews to refer to their mere relatives as brothers. In Genesis, for example, Laban, who is the brother of Rebekah and the uncle of Jacob, calls Jacob, who is his nephew, his brother. And this is but one example of many examples in both the Old and the New Testaments where mere relatives are referred to as brothers or brethren. And our St. James is related to our Lord because his mother is a relative of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now we know from St. Paul that St. James was a recipient of a special vision of our Blessed Lord. St. Paul enumerates all of the people who saw our Blessed Lord after the resurrection. And he talks about 500 people who saw him at one time. And then he mentions at the end, James. As if James received a special visitation by our risen Lord. And then he says, and least of all, and lastly, by me, I saw him, referring to his seeing of our Lord on the way to Damascus when he was about to persecute the church. And St. James was the first bishop of Jerusalem. And he is also the author of the Epistle of St. James that we see in Holy Scripture. And it is this epistle which most explicitly refutes the heresies of Luther. Luther said, you go to heaven by faith alone. And St. James says in this epistle that faith without works is dead, that unless you have works of faith, that is, good works, you cannot go to heaven. And Luther was so disturbed by this epistle of St. James that he called it an epistle of straw. That is, he denigrated its authenticity, said it wasn't the true epistle, even though it had been accepted by all of Christianity up to that time. And oddly enough, afterwards, the Lutherans themselves, realizing that it was impossible to deny its authenticity, now accept it, even though it denies their fundamental principle. It is said about St. James that he prayed so fervently and so much that his knees were like the skin of a camel. And the relics of Saints Philip and James are preserved in the Basilica of the 12 Holy Apostles in Rome. The feast of these apostles and of any other apostles should remind us of the quality of the one true Church of Christ, that it must be apostolic. Christ founded the Church upon the apostles, and in order that the Church be the true Church, it must trace its origins and its faith back to the apostles. Otherwise, it's not a true church. The word apostle comes from a Greek word which means to send. And from this we understand that the apostles were apostles because they were sent by our Lord Jesus Christ. They were sent by him to teach, to rule, and to sanctify the faithful in his name and with his power and authority. It is only because they received this sacred mission from Christ, to perform these sacred functions which are proper to Christ, that they have the authority over the human race. Our Lord said to the apostles, "As the Father hath sent me, so also I send you." And immediately after that, he gave them the power to forgive and to retain the sins of men. To the disciples whom he sent to preach, he said, "He that heareth you, heareth me. He that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him who sent me." And so you see that our Lord set up a linkage between him and his Father, and himself and the apostles, like a chain that goes from the apostles to him, and him to the Father. And if you deny one, you deny the other. If you do not hear one, you do not hear the other. From these words of Christ, we understand that we cannot be united to Christ or to his Father if we are not united to those whom he has sent. Our adherence to the Catholic Church, our Catholicism, is defined by our submission to those whom he has sent. That is, to the apostles and their successors, the Pope and the bishops of the Roman Catholic Church. There is no possible attachment to the mystical body of Christ if we are not attached to those whom he has sent. The Church, therefore, preaches and teaches with authority because she has received authority from Christ to preach and to teach. The Church, therefore, rules with authority and claims authority over all the faithful because she has received a mission from Christ. The Church, therefore, sanctifies the faithful, distributes the sacraments, especially the Holy Eucharist, forgives sins and retains some sins with authority, for it has received the power of Christ to do so. The very term mission comes from the Latin word to send. And so we understand immediately that apostle and mission mean the same thing. They come from the same word, to send, for it signifies the authority of Christ. There have always been, consequently, true shepherds and false shepherds. True shepherds are those who truly have the apostolic mission. That is, the mission from Christ to teach, to rule, and to sanctify the faithful. False shepherds are those who present themselves as having this mission, but who in fact do not possess it. The manner in which the mission of Christ is lost is through heresy, schism, or excommunication. For it is repugnant that they who have turned on Christ, who have betrayed him and have become Judases, could be sent by Christ to teach, to rule, and to sanctify the faithful. In the 5th century, for example, the Bishop of Constantinople began to preach that Our Blessed Lady was not the Mother of God, that she was only the Mother of Christ, but not the Mother of God. You could not use the term Mother of God. And he said this impious sermon his first time. He announced it on Christmas Day of the year 428. When the people heard this invention, this heresy, which was different from the doctrine that had been always been preached to them beforehand, they refused any longer to regard him as their bishop. As a matter of fact, at that ceremony in which he pronounced that heresy, the people got up and left the church as he was giving his sermon. They would not let their ears be defiled by the heresy of such a man. And even before he was condemned by the authority of the church, nearly all the people of the diocese refused to attend his mass and remarked, "We have an emperor, but no bishop." And this was true even though he had been the duly appointed bishop of the diocese and had in fact possessed the apostolic mission, the apostolic authority, up to the time of his heresy. The people correctly understood that adherence to the teaching of the true faith is essential to the apostolic mission. Once the true faith disappeared in him, then the whole basis of the apostolic mission collapsed. This heretic, Nestorius, continued to pretend that he was a true shepherd. He continued to pretend that he was the bishop of Constantinople until he was condemned officially as a heretic in the year 431 at the Council of Ephesus. Similarly, the Greek schismatics at the time of their schism in the 11th century, breaking from the head of the Catholic Church, the Holy Father, breaking from him whom Christ, to whom Christ confided the entire flock, breaking from him who is the source of all of the apostolic mission in the church, and therefore of apostolic authority, that is, breaking from the Pope of Rome. Nonetheless, the schismatic bishops continued to present themselves to the faithful as true shepherds, as having an apostolic mission. In fact, they were deprived of all authority, since they cut themselves off from the one legitimate and true source of authority, which is the successor of St. Peter. If our Lord said to St. Peter, "Feed my lambs and feed my sheep," and if he said to him, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church," then how is it possible that those who repudiate this divine mission of Peter could themselves enjoy a mission from God? Is God double? Does he speak out of both sides of his mouth? Of course not. He who is separated from the source is cut off, and he withers like a branch that falls to the ground. Just as when you pull the plug, the light goes off, so when you are cut off from the apostolic mission of the Roman Pontiff, you are cut off from any true authority, and the light goes out. The English bishops in the Protestant Reformation, first cutting themselves off from the Roman Pontiff in order to recognize the king as the head of the church, then, embracing the heresy of Luther and Calvin, ceased by this defection to have the apostolic mission. Yet they continued to present themselves as true bishops when in fact they were false shepherds. In our own day, the modernists, having penetrated into the ranks of the hierarchy, just like Nestorius, just like the Greek schismatics, just like the English bishops, have themselves also abandoned apostolic doctrine, and having attempted to impose upon the church new and evil doctrines, they contradict the teaching of the Catholic Church. For this reason, they too have lost their apostolic mission, just as all of the heretics and schismatics before them lost it. That is, they have lost their authority to teach, to rule, and sanctify the faithful. For as I said, it is repugnant that Christ would confide his lambs to those who, by heresy, would devour them. It is not even thinkable that Christ could confide a lamb, which is the object of his love, to a wolf who would devour him by heresy. Nevertheless, like Nestorius, like the Greek schismatics, like the English bishops, they continue to present themselves as true shepherds, and it is therefore the duty of the faithful to do what the Catholics of Constantinople did, to refuse to recognize these heretical bishops as being the true successors of the apostles, as having the mission and authority from Christ to teach and to rule and to sanctify. As much as we would cease to be Catholic by refusing to submit to the true shepherd, so we also cease to be Catholic by submission to a false shepherd. For if you are submitted to a false shepherd, it is impossible that you are submitted to the true shepherd, or could be submitted to the true shepherd. If you adhere to the wolf, it is impossible that you adhere to the good shepherd. Those who have followed false shepherds have ended up separated from the Catholic Church. Why do we have Greek schismatics? Why do we have heretics? Why do we have Protestants? Because people followed those false shepherds into their schism, into their heresy. And the reason why there are so few Catholics in those lands where false shepherds took over is because there's always only a handful of Catholics that resist, that have the courage of faith and the strength of faith to see the false shepherd and to run from him. But the bulk of them follow those false shepherds into heresy and schism. That's why we have these great numbers of people in heresy and schism, because of false shepherds. The special problem which we have today is that one of these heretical bishops is the Bishop of Rome. Indeed, it is he, more than anyone else, who has imposed the false doctrine upon the church. Therefore, it is he, more than anyone else, who must be considered a false shepherd and deprived of apostolic mission. This the faithful must do, despite any appearance of his being the true shepherd. That is, despite any claim to a true and valid election, despite the fact that he has succeeded to the same place and position of authority as his apostolic predecessors, despite the fact that he is in the apostolic palace in Rome, despite the fact that he inhabits St. Peter's Basilica. His doctrine is false, for he imposes upon us the doctrine that the Catholic Church is not the one true Church of Christ. He says to us that other religions are means of salvation, and this is contrary to the teaching of the Church, just as Nestorius tried to impose upon his faithful the impious doctrine that Our Blessed Lady is not the Mother of God. And like the faithful Catholics of Constantinople in the 4th century, we must avoid him and denounce him as one not having apostolic authority, as one not having the authority of Christ, as one not representing the Roman Catholic Church. In the meantime, we fervently pray for his conversion to the Catholic faith, or if that should be lacking, We pray for his official condemnation and removal so that it will be clear to the whole world. I say this is a special problem since designated to be the Bishop of Rome and designated therefore to be the Pope, he occupies the place of him who is the principle of all authority in the Church, the principle of the apostolic mission of all of the bishops and clergy. If he should teach heresy, it places the Church in a most abominable turmoil. And the turmoil that you see today, the scattered sheep, and all of the problems in the Church, goes back to a single problem, and that is the problem of heresy in him who should be teaching the faith. The Feast of Every Apostle should remind us of the apostolic mission of the Catholic Church, which is her sacred link to Christ, like a sacred chain to Christ and to the Father, and is the source of her authority, her infallibility, her indefectibility. For as Christ was with the apostles on earth, so after his ascension, he is with those to whom he has confided his sacred mission, those who truly have it, all days, even to the consummation of the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.